The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
It's Wednesday, August 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to talk to you about what happened in Washington yesterday and what's happening with the press and what's happening with America. But I need you to listen because this is a nuanced conversation. Because this is not I'm all on board with one thing or I'm all on board for the other. This is not all black and white, and it is certainly not all one topic. So I want to talk to you about what happened with the two convictions yesterday and the way the Trump media is handling it, the way the left media is handling it, why it matters or doesn't matter. So let me start here. First of all, Stu, help me out if I'm missing anybody. Bannon, Flynn, Lewandowski, Cohen, Manafort, Roger Stone, all people we said, these are not the best people. You want impeachment. Forget about Hillary Clinton impeachment. They will never impeach her, but they will impeach Donald Trump because these people are dirty.
It's certainly throw Omarosa in that mix.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good rundown.
These are the people that we warned against, and we said there will be impeachment hearings because of the people he's surrounding himself with, Manafort in particular. But let's start with Cohen. We knew who he was, and I wasn't comfortable with a president who had somebody known as a, quote, fixer. That's not a normal thing to have. That is something that you might have if you are used to really hardball politics in a dirty city like New York. You might need a fixer. Now, we played audio of him way before the election of the way he handled people and the way he handled the press. He's a dirty, awful guy. Really bad. Would not be counted as a friend of mine by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't want to be at a party with this guy. We know he plays dirty. We know he did what he's being accused of. He's now admitted it. And the president knew. And we know that. I think it's, you know, let's not be the Democrats who were, you know, with Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton was in office, we all knew he was a dog. There was a chance that maybe he had a turning point because he went on 60 Minutes and he said, I've had this epiphany and this turning point in my life. And, you know, we've already talked about it and we're just trying to heal our marriage. And so there was a point where I'm like, OK, let's give the guy the benefit of the doubt. As we now know, that was politics. That was just a show. OK, we knew and the Democrats knew that that's who he was and they didn't care. Now, are we going to care about Cohen? Does it matter? It does to me. It does to me that Cohen goes to jail. It does to me if the president colluded and broke the law. It does matter to me. But does it matter today? In reality, in the world we're living in? No. And I'll explain why in a minute. First of all, would Bush have been impeached for this crime? Yes. Would Clinton? Maybe. Would Obama? Definitely not. Will Trump? Call me the day after the election and I'll let you know. It's who controls the House. If the Democrats control the House, they will impeach him, but he will not be convicted because the Republicans control the Senate. That's just the way it is. It's really important to understand that America is not the same. Basically, you cannot indict a sitting president. An indictment for the sitting president is impeachment. Okay. That does not mean you're removed from office. It first goes to the House and they issue their indictment, which is an impeachment papers, which says you have to show up for this trial because we think you're guilty of something. And then the trial is held in the Senate. The president, basically, if he wasn't the president, would be labeled today a unindicted co-conspirator. Okay. Now, let's take that and set it off to the side, because it has nothing to do with Russia. It has nothing to do with a Russian investigation. It has nothing to do with collusion. On that part, the president is right. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with who this president is and who he is surrounded by. But let's separate that from Russia. What Cohen is convicted of, or about to be convicted of, is paying off two women to influence the election at the request of the president. Something that the president and Cohen both denied. Now, if he had proof that the president colluded, you can bet that the prosecutors would have given him a plea deal to testify against the president, because that's a pretty big deal. But he has no credibility. Now, the press is making this into a big deal. Well, look, he didn't even make a plea deal. He didn't even make a plea deal, and he fingered the president. Yeah, but is anybody going to believe it? Was he lying then or is he lying now? He has no credibility and obviously nothing to back that up, no evidence, or I'm guessing he would have gotten a plea deal. So we know we can't take his word for it. But it does matter. Manafort also has nothing to do with Russia. It has nothing to do with collusion. On this, the president and the White House are right. The best thing the president can do, and if I were advising the president, I would say, make sure that you give another speech today where you're not praising Manafort. Give a speech to say, look, none of this happened. What he was convicted of, none of it happened while he was with me. This is all happening beforehand. I guess there were some people who said, hey, don't hire Paul Manafort. He's a really bad guy. But I didn't listen to them and I hired him. But I promptly fired him as well. So none of this has anything to do. He colluded with Russia, but before Trump. And his collusion with Russia was to enslave the Ukraine. He's very corrupt. So was Roger Stone. They were partners. Clearly guilty. And he is not a good guy. Now, here's where this is going to get dicey. There's speculation. And again, speculation. So why are we even talking about it? Because I think we need to be clear on what's happening. There's speculation that Trump might pardon Manafort. If he does on these particular charges that have nothing to do with Donald Trump, nothing to do with the election, this is not a witch hunt. This guy is a bad guy. It's wrong. And we'll have to deal with that with the president if indeed he does it. But to pardon Manafort would be a gigantic mistake. Now, can you make the case that this is a witch hunt? Yeah. If it wasn't Donald Trump, he probably, if he was working for Hillary Clinton, he'd be a free man today. We know that, but that's a different topic. So what we know, none of this from Manafort involves Trump or candidate Trump involved in Russia at all. So here's why it should matter, but it won't. Our president, no matter who they are, needs good, honest people around him. I think he has gotten rid of all of the bad people pretty quickly. They have imploded on him. But he needs good, honest people, and we need transparency. I make the same case that I made against Van Jones. Look, I don't have a vendetta against Van Jones. I didn't even want Van Jones fired. I wanted an explanation. Did you knowingly hire a communist? If so, what does that say about you and your philosophy and your Marxist tendencies? The White House didn't want to answer those questions, so they instead fired Van Jones. That's a problem. We need transparency. That's what America is really looking for when it comes to politicians. If you're paying hush money before a campaign, people should know about it. Now, we're living in a world where truth doesn't really matter anymore. Look at Rose McGowan and Asia Argento. You know that Asia admitted finally yesterday that, yes, okay, I did sleep with that 17-year-old. Well, that's against the law. And you just spent all this time denying it, blaming it on your dead boyfriend. Are you kidding me? She going to be held to the same standard as anybody else? No, probably not. That's the problem. The problem is we don't trust anyone. Republicans for a long time, and I speak to the left here because I need you to understand, Republicans feel as though, and I believe it was fairly true, that we kept putting up Boy Scouts. I mean, look at George Bush, a frickin' Boy Scout, okay? An Eagle Scout. If he wasn't the stereotypical Eagle Scout, I promise to do my duty and, you know, do my, you know, the best of whatever that, I can't even remember it anymore, to do my duty on my honor for God and my country. That's who he was. And look, they made him into, you know, Darth Vader, the worst human ever to live. Same thing with Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is literally an Eagle Scout. And look what they made Mitt Romney. He was the devil. He was the most giving, honest, decent guy. I disagree with him. But you cannot say that this guy's character was flawed the way they tried to make it out to be, that he was some greedy rich guy. He's the exact opposite of that. So the Republicans felt like we're playing by the rules, but you're not. You won't accept anybody. I mean, they're against Mike Pence. Mike Pence is worse than Donald Trump. Wait a minute. You just said Donald Trump is the worst human being ever to live. He's a Nazi. He's a white supremacist. How bad does Mike Pence have to be worse than that? But that's the way they treat everything. Also, Republicans felt like we had to play by the rules and the Democrats didn't. The IRS scandal. Can you imagine if Donald Trump was doing this, using the IRS to target Democrats? Do you think the press would be all over it? Do you think if the president came out and said, hey, that really bad thing that happened where all those people died, including an ambassador, that was caused by a film? And he had the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of State do the same lie, and it was all documented that they changed this story? Do you really think the press wouldn't care? Do you think Benghazi would have been treated differently if it were Donald Trump? Yes, of course. We don't believe the people in the Beltway. We don't try to trust the other guy's president. We don't trust the press. My father said to me when I was very little and Nixon resigned, my father said kind of to himself, and I heard it as we were watching that resignation. My father said, this is bullcrap. And I just looked at him and he said, they all do it. He just got caught. Man, that felt wrong. I don't want my president. I don't want all the presidents to do wrong things and get away with it. But that has changed now. Now it is they all do it, but the press only cares about when one side does it. To me, that's worse. That's worse. And it's getting worse. And I want to give you some examples because it's important for the left to understand what why this won't matter to so many people on the right. And until you understand this, it's only going to get worse. We'll go there when we come back. First, if you are if you're trying to sell your house or you want to buy a new house someplace, I want you to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. You're going to find the right real estate agent that's going to help you. You know, there you can go through a buttload of real estate agents, and most people just hire the first person. And they, you know, how do you even know what this person is? Well, I see their ads everywhere. What does that even mean? You need to find the one who knows what your house is worth, who can guide you on what updates have to be made, how to, you know, just fix the curb appeal of your house to get the most money out of it. Then they have to have a really good marketing plan. Well, that's realestateagentsitrust.com. If you want to find the person who knows your area, has long, long history of selling homes fast and for top dollar, you need to find them at realestateagentsitrust.com. Sell your home, buy the new home, being the right home in the right area. realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now. realestateagentsitrust.com. In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to explain to you and explain to the left and the media exactly why you can't figure out half of America, why you don't understand it. And for you, anybody who's on the right, what's really going on? Why you don't necessarily understand what's going on? When we come to a recognition of the game that we all are playing and what our goals really are, then we could possibly break through some of this crap. But it's getting worse. We don't trust the people in Washington. And so let's look at it this way. You have a big hornet's nest on your porch and you don't have any raid. You don't have any way to kill these things. And they are just swarming in. The front door is the only door you have in the house. You got to do something. At some point, if you'd have no other choice, somebody says, just give me a broomstick. And you're like, no, that's a really bad idea. Then they'll swarm you and it'll be really bad. Don't do it. Well, we got to do something because we can't live like this with the hornet's nest. They're building it right at the door. Every time we go in, somebody's going to get stung. We can't live this way. Give me the broomstick. No, don't do that. That's chaos. That's really bad. You got a better choice? All right, here's a broomstick, right? That's what's happening to us. Donald Trump is the guy who said, just give me a stick. Just give me the broomstick. I'll take care of it. We know we can't live this way. No one is willing to call the exterminator or get a can of Raid because everybody's in with the hornet's nest. Everyone's profiting off of this giant hornet's condominium. And it will eventually go so far that the people who are living in the house are going to be told, you know what, you're just living in the wrong house. This house belongs really to the hornets. They've built their nest right here, and they're natural, and they're really more important than you are. When you know that that's the direction of the people around you, you do say, here, I've got an idea. You're crazy enough. I'm going to get you a broomstick. Go out and hit that thing a few times. Okay? And if somebody is nuts enough to do it, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to do it, but he will. That's where we are. That's where we are. And I want to make the case of the hornet's nest as our option, the reason why Donald Trump is on the front porch doing something crazy with a stick. It's not because we like it. It's because we feel we have no other option. I'll make that case next. So the press will not understand why it doesn't matter to the right, the news yesterday that came out, why it doesn't matter and why, how can people be standing with Donald Trump? They don't understand it because they refuse to look at the entire picture. Half of this country feels like they not only haven't been listened to, but they have been mocked and ridiculed for a very long time. They've been called stupid, uneducated. They have been called dangerous, anti-government, all kinds of names. We have been played over and over and over again. And people are done because they're seeing this hornet's nest on our front porch. And they're seeing this hornet's nest, and it involves the economy, economics, bailouts, a growing welfare state, the fundamental transformation of America, the ignoring of terrorists. Do you know that the police went in and they demolished the death site or the training camp in New Mexico? Do you know that that's been demolished now? Have you ever heard of a crime scene being demolished?
Very strange.
Very strange. Very strange. So people know that our way of even thinking is under attack. Lest I remind you of yesterday's program where we talked about, what was it, Froles?
No, front holes, beholes.
Yeah.
Vaginas.
Yes.
Frenuses.
Where we have to change our language on everything. We're seeing this fundamental transformation. Antifa is being held up by CNN and others. Cuomo saying, you know, hey, they're in the right. They're morally. Let me tell you something. As Facebook is taking people down because of threatening language, let me read this. This is from the Austin Antifa. We encourage the formation of a paramilitary organization on two levels. First being those who are mainly unarmed but are prepared and trained to carry out fist fighting or using blunt weapons like axe handles or flagpoles, as well as shields and basic armoring. The second level is more advanced embryo of a Red Army, which is trained militarily and operates as soldiers all the time, engaging in production and mass work among the proletariat and oppressed nations' people. It is time for Austin to stand up, shake the bad leadership trying to impose itself on anti-fascism, and come together under a better model of actual resistance and not token performance. When we organize and lead actions, the fascists do not march. Every step they take is met with physical confrontation, and they are bombarded from all sides. On the basis of our principled united front work, fascists and their collaborators can be drowned out, run out, routed, beaten bloody, and even annihilated. These are our principles, and we hold them true, and we aim to hold them to the very finish. That's the Facebook page of Austin Antifa. Now, if Facebook were consistent and actually believed in what they were saying, these guys would not be on here. Antifa would be known what it is to the federal government as a domestic terror group. But instead, they're being excused. The media will not call people out on both sides fairly. And one side is tired of playing by the rules because the other side hasn't played by them for a long time. We didn't understand it. We didn't understand progressivism. And our problem now is we don't understand progressivism is even a thing of the past. We are now in the postmodern era, which changes all the rules. But Americans are fair. But because they don't understand postmodernism, they don't understand why fairness doesn't work. And so we are losing that trait. The O.J. Simpson trial is a great example. If you were white, you didn't understand how people could stand on the sidewalk and cheer for a killer, a guy who was clearly a killer, because it had nothing to do with O.J. Simpson. Just like all of this has nothing to do with Donald Trump, has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with someone coming up on the porch with that stick and the hornet's nest. O.J. Simpson beat the system that African Americans said had oppressed them forever. He beat the system. That's what they were cheering, not him. And they'll admit that now. Unfortunately, history comes back and does not look at people who make decisions like that kindly, fondly. We don't remember that as a good thing. We can understand it, but it wasn't a good thing. Donald Trump, I believe, would not have been elected had the Democrats been running a clean candidate who was a blue dog candidate. But right now, Americans see our government officials and our media siding with Antifa, appearing to side with terrorists. They don't have a problem with the border. And yet, again, last night, Molly Tibbetts, we find that here's an illegal alien that came in into the country illegally. Does that make all illegal immigrants killers? No, but here's a guy who shouldn't have been here. Molly Tibbetts would be alive today if we had a secure border. And it happens over and over again. And the media doesn't care. Instead, they'll hold town halls on the Second Amendment. We're not talking a welfare state anymore. Democrats and the media are now talking about democratic socialism. That is not what's happening in Sweden and Denmark. That is radical to the people in the Netherlands. The Netherlands is a giant welfare state. We're talking now about the about getting rid of capitalism. So now, why would people support Donald Trump? Because there is too much at risk. I don't trust the media. I don't trust the Democrats. I don't trust the Republicans. I don't trust Donald Trump. Donald Trump. But I know that Donald Trump is not trying to kill capitalism. Look, I want to make this clear. The media is not responsible or not to blame. And I know if anybody writes this story, they're going to say, Glenn Beck blames the media. No, they're not to blame for this. Cohen, Manafort, and the president, all of the president's problems boil down to the people who are involved. Manafort, Cohen, and the president. Period. But the media played a huge role in his election and why so many people will stand by him. If they would just stop praising Antifa and call them for what they are, if they would stop trying to change the world into this postmodernist form, we might actually listen to them. When the president says they're the enemy of the people, no. But they are an enemy to Western civilization if they don't stop on this track. Postmodernism is designed to correct the world's greatest error of the Western civilization. It is designed to take it apart. And so every time the media or the left plays into the fourth wave feminists like Linda Sarsour, you're killing us. You're killing us. And you're driving people into the arms of anybody who will step onto our porch and say, I'll get rid of that hornet's nest. Because we know that all the people, all the bug spray people, they're coming. And they're not really bug spray people. They're in with the bugs. They're in with the hornets. And they're coming. And they're going to say, you know what? You don't even belong in this house. The hornets were here long before you were. Hornets are natural. And where they go, they go. I mean, you can go anywhere. So you lose your house, get out. And I, you know what? I say this as a crazy example, but there are many of us who believe that's exactly where we're headed. And we don't believe the press will stand up for humans over hornets. We don't believe the Democrats will stand up for humans over hornets. And And that's why. We know who he is. We've baked all this in. We know that Cohen, anybody today who's saying, well, I'm not sure if the president really did have sex, please. I'm not sure if he really did, you know, pay off it, please. We know who he is. We've baked it in. We've made our choice because we find postmodernism more dangerous than him. We see the fundamental transformation of our nation and we don't like it. And we find the fundamental transformation of America where there is no enlightenment, there is no reason, there is only bullying and pushing and shoving and shooting until everyone agrees with whatever the political correct term of the day is. They don't want any of it. And they find that much more dangerous. What we have to understand is that we are the people who stood and cheered for O.J. Simpson. And we have to explain to the left why we're standing and cheering. And we have to do it without vengeance. And we shouldn't be cheering. We should not be cheering. We should be explaining why we got here in hopes that somebody will actually listen and say, okay, I understand that. All right, let's work together to fix that. Because we don't want to be cheering for O.J. Simpson. We don't want to be cheering if Donald Trump pardons Manafort, which he should not do. Because here's what's crazy. Because we are so angry, we are so outraged, and because we are standing for a righteous cause, the stopping of the fundamental transformation of the United States and the Western world into something that is not Western, because we're standing up for that, we are not realizing that the tools that we are using, the anger, the outrage, the people that we're standing up for and defending, the things that we're saying, yeah, we can silence that person. We are actually fundamentally transforming America as well, just in a different way. I want the America that believed in fairness. I want the America that sees everyone as an individual. I want the America that has compassion. I want the America that can listen to both sides. I want the America that was based in common sense and reason, science. And right now, neither side is leading us to that America. Our hearts go out to the good people in the wildfires in California. I don't know if you saw the TV show last night. You should. It was all on global warming and how fires are getting worse, except they're not. How the temperatures are getting so hot in California, which they're not. That's causing all kinds of fires all over the world, which it isn't.
It's incredible. I mean, there's
the stats on it are awesome.
Watching that and after watching the media coverage of this over the past few weeks is... It's just incredible what they leave out intentionally.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a different impression.
Yeah, you should check that out on theblaze.com. It was last night's show. I want to talk to you a little bit about the fires, because I want to talk to you about FilterBuy, which is our sponsor this half hour. The fires are, you know, the worst air quality in Seattle ever happened because the forests are all on fire and all that smoke is blowing, and it's blowing all the way across the country. Just a couple of days ago, the forest fire smoke actually hit Washington, D.C. And Baltimore. Now, you may not have noticed it, but believe me, your lungs did, and so did your HVAC system. We have to change our HVAC system filters. Otherwise, it just causes a huge drain, and it also doesn't work right. It doesn't filter out all the crap that you shouldn't be breathing in. America has the leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses right here in our own country. It is FilterBuy, FilterBuy.com. They carry over 600 sizes. They ship for free within 24 hours. They're all made right here in America. Plus, you can just subscribe and say, look, I want it according to the manufacturer rulers rules on sending them to me. What I don't even know what it is. Every 6 months. So they just send it. It arrives at your door and you're like, oh, and you just replace the filter and throw the other one away. And you'll save 5% off the order if you sign up like that. Save time, save money, breathe better. Preserve your HVAC system with FilterBuy.com. That's FilterBuy.com.
Glenn Beck.
So glad you're here. Thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. We work hard on our shows every day to bring you the best information, the most information that we can possibly squeeze in. But more importantly, not our opinion, but our perspective on things. And, you know, that's when things get a little dicey. But if you're not listening to somebody who's challenging what you think you believe, then you're not growing. I know I do all the time. I challenge myself all the time to learn something new and to look at it from a different perspective. And it's not changing my viewpoint, but I think it is making me a better broadcaster and a better human being, a better citizen. And that's where we need to get. So are you a zero or a one? Facebook wants to know. Facebook is, they have a new reputation score, and you'll either be a one or a zero. For a year now, Facebook has been developing a system to rate the trustworthiness of you, the user. People are apparently given a trustworthy score of a scale from one to zero, or zero to one, whichever way you'd like to look at that, because we all look at things differently now, or do we? Now, I'm no math genius, but it seems like that's a pretty small scale. Don't you think, Stu? And do you think we're a zero or a one? It's binary. We don't live in a binary world. Looks like the choice is either you're trustworthy or you're a liar. Now, why is Facebook doing this? Because we're not supposed to judge people. No. And how can people be assigned to this binary trustworthy rating in a postmodern world of gender fluidity and front holes? Honestly.
I gotta assume they're using decimals here, right? Like you're a point, you could be a 0.7 or a 0.3.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Why not just make it a scale 1 to 10? 1 to 0.
That's a good point.
Supposedly, Facebook is just trying to measure user credibility to help identify anybody who might be malicious. I want to know my score. I want to know my score. The whole effort is driven by the whole election, you know, Russia fake news fiasco, but it's never ending. And it's a battle that is going to just continue to heat up because no matter what Facebook comes up with, people game the system. In 2015, for example, Facebook gave the users the ability to report a post as false. Well, at first, any post marked false was forwarded to a third-party fact-checker. Then a lot of users just were like, wait a minute, we can just mark this untrue because they disagreed with the person or the company posting the content. Now it's common for Facebook users on the left and the right to target publishers by flagging stories as false. The third-party fact-checkers were inundated, so Facebook built a system to try to determine if a post is likely to be false. You know, to save the actual humans some time. But then Facebook went a step further and developed a way to assess whether users who were flagging posts as false were trustworthy themselves. Facebook is now monitoring users that flag a lot of published content as false. They're also looking at the data to discover which publishers users consider to be trustworthy. The Washington Post first reported the story yesterday, but Facebook will not reveal what else it tracks to determine, your reputation. They also wouldn't say whether every Facebook user has a score or how the scores are used, why it's so secretive. Facebook is afraid that if it's too transparent about this, it'll enable hostile users to further game the system. How about we take the gaming out of this? How about you just allow us to adjust the algorithm to suit us? How about that one? I mean, in a world of customization, Why don't you just build the platform? Because that's what you promised us you were doing. Otherwise, man, you would be responsible for a lot of lawsuits, wouldn't you? Yeah, that's right. You can't be held responsible for anything that people say because you're just a platform. Okay, you're not a publisher. So we, the publishers, why can't we have access and say, I want a little more of this or a little less of this? Because who are you to tell me what I want? Imagine somewhere deep in the vault at Facebook, your profile may have the iconic like symbol next to it. Or it may have a thumbs down. Now, let me ask you this question. If you're a conservative, how likely is it that you have a one or a thumbs up?
It's Wednesday, August 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Arthur Herman was on with us yesterday, senior fellow of the Hudson Institute. He wrote the book Freedom's Forge, which I had him on yesterday to talk about, and we never got around to talking about it because there was so much other stuff to talk to him about. I think he's one of my favorite historians, favorite writer on history. Freedom's Forge is an absolute must-read. And we never got around to it. And now, Arthur, I had you on today to talk about Freedom's Forge, but I don't think we're going to make it today either. I just don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, with the news of the day and everything that is happening with the Trump White House, I was wondering if there's anything in history that we can use as a benchmark for what's going on.
It's going to be tough to do. We're definitely in uncharted territory, and I think that's one of the things that scares conventional minds.
Can we start here?
Which you are not part.
Right.
And it's also what scares the media, because they, like the Washington establishment, prefer a political landscape which is highly predictable,
right,
and that follows the usual patterns and in which the usual alliances, both ideological as well as practical political sense, are pretty much what they have been for the last couple of decades. And Trump has destroyed all that, and this is the real point, isn't it, Glenn? It's his voters have destroyed all that.
Yes.
They think by going after Trump that somehow if they get rid of Trump, things will go back to normal, what they see as their normal. And this is not true. Trump is not the cause of the disruption that's roiling our politics today and our culture. He is symptomatic of it. And he was sent there with a mission by his voters they said, we need a bull in this China shop because we've got the China shop has a lot of crockery that badly needs breaking. And so all of these scandals that are now, you know, supposedly surrounding his links to Cohen and Manafort, and the Cohen one is, I think, the more pertinent right now because of their long relationship. But the point is that voters discounted this in 2016.
So
they're not going to be moved by this. And I think once again, we'll have predictions by media and pundits that at long last we've found the magic bullet that will kill the Trump presidency. You'll never have to deal with him again. And I think they're going to be wrong.
So last hour, I likened him and our support of Donald Trump as we're living in a house and there's a giant hornet's nest right by our front door. And it's the only door we can use. And we know that all of the people who are said to, you know, be the bug, you know, killers and bug removal systems and everything else, they're all in with the hornets, and they're all coming to the house to tell us, you know what, the hornets are protected, and you really, they were here long before you, so you don't belong in the house as much as the hornets do. So we know we're about to lose our house to crazy people, and there's somebody in the house who we don't necessarily like, and we don't necessarily think is the best, and we don't always agree with him, but he's like, you know what, before they get here, give me a broom, I'm going to take that out. And yeah, you're thinking, bad idea, but not taking it out is going to be worse.
Yeah, I think I like your metaphor. And I think it describes exactly the relationship between Trump and his voters. It goes back to what we were talking about yesterday, doesn't it? That when you look at the great public figures, and I think Donald Trump is going to emerge as one of our most significant presidents, certainly the most significant in the last 50 years.
How do you mean that?
Because since Reagan,
I think Barack Obama was significant, really significant.
Perhaps in a negative way, but I mean in the sense of Trump is really kind of totally reshaping the political landscape. What Obama did in his 8 years was to work within the existing political landscape to make certain changes in society, in culture, the whole growth of the deep state that took place during his tenure. All of these were done in ways that didn't disturb or roil the conventional institutions within which Washington operates, and this is one of the reasons why he was able to get away with it. But at the same time, what you saw was a growing revolt in the country itself. We saw that, didn't we, in the midterms. The midterms is where you could see the wave of change coming that would ultimately put Trump into power. It started with the Tea Party, which, as you know, Republican Party establishment ignored and then tried to suppress. It came again in those pivotal midterms in 2014, when it really became clear that there was going to be big changes coming in Washington, and Trump was the crest of that wave. But let's go back to the question about where Trump is with regard to his voters. They sent him in to do a job, and they were perfectly aware of the fact the man had a less than perfect past. They were perfectly aware that, for example, our evangelical friends, of the fact that Trump certainly doesn't fit the stereotype of what a candidate that the
you are so kind. You are so kind.
Doesn't fit in at all,
right?
But they saw through the attempts, and I think they do today, the attempts to shame them into abandoning Trump because of his relationships, alleged or real, with porn stars, or his behavior in inappropriate kinds of ways. They know what's going on. That what they're trying to do is to break the Trump coalition on the wheel of morality. And they see through that. They understand that this is the way in which Republican hopefuls and the last round of best hopes for changing Washington had been broken and destroyed. And they see the pattern that's taking place now. The pursuit of Donald Trump, the indictment against Chris Collins, the indictment against Duncan Hunter. I don't know if it's an indictment yet, but on campaign finance reform. Is this purely coincidental that the earliest supporters of Donald Trump should find themselves in this kind of legal trouble? Is this just simply that one day the Justice Department had a look and said, oh, look, these guys may be violating campaign finance reform, when others walk away?
No, Rosie O'Donnell is a great
perfect example.
Example.
And look at Barack Obama. He had $2 million of contributions which were deemed illegal, and he was able to walk away with a fine in the process. They understand what's underway here. And yet, Glenn, what I'm going to say is, it goes back to our theme that we were talking about yesterday, and the theme, I think, of almost all my books, again, the issue of optimism. Look, no one, I think, not even on the left, wants what's happening today. Everybody wants the nightmare we find ourselves to go away. The left and the media and Democrats think they're going to make it go away by getting rid of Trump. You know, we just get that guy out of there, then all of things will return to normal. They're wrong about that. And I think the Trump supporters want this to go away by having the left and the Democrats and the media and the Never Trumpers and the Republicans accept the fact that the man is elected president. Let him do his job. Let's let a president do what we sent him there to do. And the fact is, they're wrong, too. The left and the Democrats and media are never going to accept Trump. It's going to get worse before it gets better, I'm afraid. But the fact that we all recognize the fact that we don't want to be here, that this is not healthy for our country, I think, is a sign that at the end of all of this, and at the end of all of the broken crockery, as I was saying before, and the end of the of how this all unfolds, including the midterms in November, that at the end of it, I think we are going to come out okay, just a very different, and I think, and I hope, a better and healthier country at the end of it.
Arthur, I've only got about a minute and a half left. See, is I don't know if you can answer this question. I know you studied, the early progressive movement with Woodrow Wilson. You know how the violence reared its head in the 60s, also in the 1930s, with the uprising of communists. And America always, once it starts to see that violence and sees how radical things really are, Americans always recoil from it. Do you think that we're going to recoil from the Antifas and the Democratic Socialists this time, or has the university system done its job?
That's a very good question. You put your finger on one of the key aspects of this, in that this isn't just a revolt by the Trump supporters against the Washington establishment. It's also revolt on the part of the left. The Washington establishment thinks that they can recruit the left in order to defeat Trump and the right. And I think they're wrong. They're the next targets, and they don't realize that quite yet. I think we will pull back. We did not pull back in 1860. And the reason is because we had a powerful section of the country, the South, which was willing to pull the country apart because they saw a brighter future in that happening. I don't see anyone in that position right now. I think that what people talk about, the civil war here, what we're talking about is a series of verbal civil wars, of a divided nation. There's no doubt about that. We've been there before. It's just never been as pervasive in our culture and been as omnipresent, thanks to social media and cable news and the way in which it is today. I think that, but what I fear is that we're going to have one of those awful moments in which there's real serious violence in some place or somewhere, and then someone has to step forward and say, we just can't go on like this. I don't see that happening quite yet. But I think for now, we're still in a process, as I was saying yesterday, in which it's going to be a fight to the finish between Trump and his opponents. And the midterms are not going to give us, whichever way they turn out, are not going to make this issue go away. The left is not going to accept Trump, even if Republicans hold on to the House and Senate. And Trump is going to be right where it is, and Democrats won't be able to get him out, even if they do win the House.
Arthur,
so we're in for a siege. We're in for interesting times.
Glenn. I know. I appreciate your patience with me, and I'm going to talk to you about Freedom's Forge
Don't believe him. He's never going to ask you about Freedom's Forge. It's not going to happen.
It's one of my favorite books. I love it.
I know. Glenn Beck's word is his bond.
Yeah. Right. So, Arthur, we'll have you on again. Thank you so much. God bless.
Look forward to it.
You bet.
Cheers.
By the way, he is not trying to sell that book. There's a real point to that. The book came out like 2012, so he's not like calling us up. I'm calling him up. I want to talk to you about Freedom's Forge. It's too much to talk to this guy about. He's really brilliant. Read Freedom's Forge. All right, Car Shield, our sponsor this half hour. If you've ever taken your car in, and Stu, I think of you all the time because we were in exactly the same situation when we first met. We were both broke losers. I mean, no.
Well, you had a career and it had collapsed.
Right.
I didn't have a career yet.
Yes,
so we weren't exactly.
I weren't
the same.
I was. I was more of the loser. We were both broke.
Well, I was a loser too, but just in a different way.
All right. Okay. So we lived in the same apartment complex, and it was. And our cars were always something that we always worried about because we were like, we had no money to fix it. If something happened, no money to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have those moments when you're living like that, and it's paycheck to paycheck, and something big pops up,
you're doomed.
You're just screwed. You
don't even know what to do.
Yeah, and it winds up, you know, going multiple years of difficulty to try to pay it back and deal with all the interests. And
next thing you know, you're a hitman working for the mob.
It was a small time in my life. I don't know why you keep bringing it up.
CarShield.com can make sure that you don't, you know, have to lead a life of crime. If something happens to your car, don't worry about it. If your manufacturer warranty has expired, you could be out of pocket thousands of dollars, but you won't be with CarShield.com. CarShield.com, they take care of the mechanic, whether it's at the dealership or, you know, the guy down the street that you really like, doesn't matter. They pay for it. And you don't have to wait for the check to come in and you get paid. They pay them directly. Call 1-800-CAR-6100. 1-800-CAR-6100. Get yourself covered before you're sitting in that horrible situation. carshield.com. That's carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck. Another reason I think we can safely say to the press, another reason why you are to blame for Donald Trump. You know, they try to blame, oh, Glenn Beck and blah, 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 you're to blame. You said, no, you did. You did. And here's why. Notice the coverage of Molly Tibbetts. Now, this is something that actually affects average Americans. Molly Tibbetts has been missing. She was in Iowa. It appears now she was kidnapped by an illegal alien who had been here for 6 years. Maybe a dreamer. He slaughtered her. Kidnapped and slaughtered her. Where is the town hall for the number of people who have been killed by illegal aliens? Where is the town hall saying, we have to get a handle on this? This doesn't make all illegal aliens bad. It just means here's somebody that shouldn't have been here, wouldn't have been here, that was. Now, we're not going to root out all the bad ones by, you know, having a system of checks and balances and, you know, an orderly system, but we can greatly reduce this. They're not covering that.
And to this point, MS-13 has killed over four times as many people as that have been killed in school shootings.
Where's your town hall?
Where's that?
That's why people rallied around Donald Trump when he said build a wall. Because you're not even recognizing what's really going on.
When you walk in to buy a car, you really don't have a choice of what salesperson you use in most instances. Whoever walks up to you kind of has the rights to you. And you negotiate with that person. And if you're going down the wrong road half an hour in, most people are just going to stick with it and ride it out and suck it up and deal with it. You don't have to do that with real estate agents. You can go another way. You can go with someone who's already been screened, who already has been qualified by a pretty intense system from realestateagentsitrust.com. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find one of the 1,200 agents all over America that have already been qualified that, you know, share your values. A lot of these people listen to the show. They understand business, how it's supposed to be done and how it was done in the past. And they make sure that you can get the right real estate agent. They make sure you get the right deal for your house. And they make sure you're treated with respect. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com if you need to sell your house fast and for the most money. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So we have a lot of heavy lifting to do. If you're a conservative, you have a lot of heavy lifting to do, and that is educating your friends on what else in the world is happening, because there's a lot going on that, you know, CNN and everybody else, they'll cover, but they'll move past it so quick. In fact, let me play how MSNBC last night referred to Molly Tibbetts, how they referred to Molly Tibbetts, this girl who was kidnapped and killed by an illegal alien. Listen to what they said.
The fact that he was even sworn in as president after the Access Hollywood tape let me know for a fact that the Republican Party is actually not working on behalf of the American people. They are working on behalf of Donald Trump, and he's been able to bully them into their silence. And I don't think that today changes much, unfortunately. I'm sure we'll hear what he has to say about this at his rally. But Fox News is talking about, you know, a girl in Iowa and not this, right? And tomorrow morning, we know he'll wake up and tweet and sort of, you know, besmirch the reputation of Michael Cohen and all the people around him, yep, and really go back to Mueller. And this is obviously going to boil down to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
There's no need to besmirch the reputation of Michael Cohen.
He's done that
himself. He had that long before, you know, years and years and years ago, which is a problem of why you would hire him and want him nearby you in the first place.
But to talk about, you know, Fox News talking about some girl in Iowa.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Oh,
this is not just some random killing. I don't like it when the press does when the press brings up something that is local and has no connection to anything else that's going on in the country, because what are you going to do about it? However, this does. MS-13, the gang, the Mexican gang, as Stu pointed out, what is it, four times?
Yeah, about 4.3 times the rate. MS-13 kills people at 4.3 times the rate that people have died in school shootings. And that's, I think, I can't remember what year that goes back to, but it's past 6 or 7 years.
All right. So you're going to have to carry the water on that. You're going to have to carry the water on Venezuela. And we're working hard to, by the way, if you know of somebody in Venezuela that is willing to talk to us, and I know this is dangerous, but if they're willing to talk to us and they're smart and they know how to be able to talk to us confidentially, please contact us. Please call us. Or Jason, can I give out your email address on this one or not? You don't have to.
Hey, do you want to screw up your inbox for the next 50 years?
Do we have tips or something like that?
I don't know. I can check.
We'll get an email address for you. But we need to talk to people in Venezuela.
Twitter is an easy way to go to. At World of Stew, at Glenn Beck.
Yeah, okay. Let's just do it that way. You know somebody in Venezuela. You know somebody in South Africa, because that's the other story that you have to carry water on. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking to one of the farmers who is about to lose his ranch. He's a white guy. They are only offering a tenth of the value because the new black president is done with Nelson Mandela's reconciliation and says it's time to slit the throats of whiteness, and they are going to take these ranches. And the first ranch that is being taken, what's his name, the farmer?
So they're from a farm or a ranch called Ackerland Bordery, and it's like a hunting place. Like if you want to go, and
hunt.
Yeah.
Okay. So and how big is this ranch?
I'm not entirely sure. We know that they said that if there's over 25,000 acres, that's considered to be excessive. So I'm assuming it's over 25,000 acres. So it's probably pretty big. And keep in mind, this is probably land that's been in their family for forever. For a long time.
Right. And so this farmer has just been served papers. Tell me his story a little bit.
So, yeah, they were earlier this year, they were offered, I think it was $16.7 million. That's the market value. The $16.7 million is the market value for their ranch. Now, under the current South African constitution, that's perfectly legal. The state can say, hey, we are targeting your place for redistribution, mm-hmm. which is the actual verbiage on it. But we have to give you market value. Well, ever since what you pointed out, all this new rhetoric and vitriol that's going on.
Nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah, no one wants to buy it. And everyone is pointing the fingers at these guys. They're the bad guys. So they're forcing a change, an amendment to the Constitution that says, well, we're just going to take it regardless. We don't have to compensate you. We're just going to take it and redistribute it to black farmers instead. So instead, they offered him $1.6 million. Not even close to what the market value of this property is. Well, they contested it and said, hey, what's going on here? We reject this. They came back and said that we are instead going to show up to your property, and we're going to do an assessment, and we're going to take your property. You have to turn the keys over to us. They filed an emergency injunction. It's kind of stuck right there as it is now. But once this constitution is amended, which is basically imminent, it doesn't matter. They're just going to lose the farm. What's amazing is we cannot find anybody that's reporting on this. Nobody except for extreme, like far-right, alt-right people are the only ones talking about this. Why is that? Why is the UN not talking about this? Why are mainstream media outlets not all over the place?
Well, why isn't Ginsburg talking about this? Ginsburg, our Supreme Court justice, has said she looks not to the U.S. Constitution, but to the South African Constitution for guidance, because it's newer, and look at how many great things have been happening in South Africa. Personally, she should be impeached for that. But that's the constitution that is taking the land.
A constitution that has it mandated in there that they can redistribute land. That's what she's pointing at. That's the constitution that she's holding it up to. That's just amazing. Amazing.
So the stories that we are gathering, and we're spending extra time verifying, because I don't want to report stuff that isn't happening. But some of the stories that we do know have happened are terrifying. People are targeting these farmers. I know one story of a farmer who was outside. He told his wife to get in the house. They had already put bars on the windows and the doors, so she was supposedly safe. As they killed her husband out in front of the farm, they told her to come out. She wouldn't. Police wouldn't come, and they lit the house on fire, and they burned her to death inside. And there's story after story after story of black people doing this now to white people in South Africa. It was wrong and bad when it was happening the other way. Can we not even talk about it in the press?
That's nearly 100 white farmers just in 2017 alone. And the narrative from the government has been, look, there's nothing different here. It's just the murder rate is rising with the overall murder rate. I think that's had a lot of people, you know, kind of standing off. What you just described, Glenn, is not
murder.
Murder. That's torture is what's going on there. Torture.
And it's vengeance. It's mob violence. Murder is I've gotten angry at somebody who has crossed me one way or another, and I'm plotting their death, and I'm going to go kill them. We understand that. Murder, She Wrote, Columbo. That's different than mob violence and vengeance. It's very different.
Those are some stories that we are hopefully going to get out of this man, this farmer in South Africa tomorrow. I'm going to also ask him about how many farms are targeted. There is a list that has leaked out of supposedly around 200 farms that are on this list.
And we're still not allowing any of these white farmers to come in, right?
That's another thing. If the government's stance on this, official stance, was that this is no, you know, there's no there, then why last year did a member of their own government come out and say, we need to expedite visas to get them out of the country? That does not go with the other line from what the government's saying is, hey, look, this is just the murder rate's rising with, you know, the typical national rate. No, there's people there that are actually saying, okay, yeah, this is a big deal.
Thanks, Jason. We'll have more on that story coming up and also more on Venezuela, but we do need your help on those two stories. There's another story you will have to carry the water on, and that is Asian Argento. This is Asia is a woman who was one of the founders of the hashtag Me Too movement. And she was brought out in front of everybody as a hypocrite, as she was sleeping with an underage boy. She's 37. He was 17. She's vehemently denied all of this. Rose McGowan, who always said, you have to believe the survivors. You have to believe them. You have to believe the women. She suddenly has changed her mind and said, wait a minute. I mean, let's not necessarily believe the accuser here, because I know her, and I don't think she did this. She said that she didn't do this. Well, TMZ has text messages about sleeping with this 17-year-old boy and pictures of the two of them in bed.
Oops, I think is what you would say on this. Yes, she did deny it initially. However, there are now photos of them in bed. TMZ has them, and they have posted them, at least some of them. There are apparently some that actually show her without clothes on. The one that they have featured is laying in bed, taking a selfie, and you're not seeing any nudity, but you're seeing, it's a very much an afterglow sort of photo.
It is.
So describe it. And so there's also text messages. She initially said, I had never had any sexual relationship with the 17-year-old. She has now texted a friend and said, quote, I had sex with him and it felt weird. I didn't know he was a minor until the shakedown letter, how she describes it.
She's asked in this text message by her friend, what's up with the photo taken in bed? She said, you can see my breasts. That's Furbies. All. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything. She says the public knows nothing, only what the New York Times wrote, which is one sided. The shakedown letter, the horny kid jumped me.
She's blaming the 17-year-old for the incident.
She was 37.
She's not going to get away with this one, I don't think. I do think that there's a line that this crosses that even the left, they're going to want her out of there because it's too much mess here.
But she's not going to be she'll end up with the relationship in Hollywood, like Roman Polanski. She's not going to be the poster child for hypocritical liars.
No, she's not going to get that treatment.
Right. Now, here she is having an illegal relationship with an underage boy. She's 37. He's 17. Nobody in Hollywood is going to say anything. People have a double standard when women sleep with boys.
Yep.
They think he loved it.
Okay. And it, by his own words, he did.
Yeah.
That does not mean that it's still a crime.
Yes. I mean, but you're right. Hear that about Roy Moore? Everybody said how creepy it was that he was in his 30s and he was around 17-year-olds. Well, what's the difference?
Very similar situation, except much more evidence in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Moore stuff is like you're talking to people's memories of what happened 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is there are actual photos of this and texts where she admits what she said did. So, but again, you're right. I mean, I don't think she will not get the Roy Moore treatment, mm-mm, right? I think she probably will be tossed aside by this movement, however, at least in the short term. A lot of these situations, you wind up with situations where they are able to repair themselves if you're on the right side of the aisle. It's not like Roy Moore is soon going to get a really good job somewhere in politics.
No, he's destroyed forever. She's done worse than Roy Moore was accused of.
Multiple people with the Roy Moore thing. You can argue.
Right. I forgot that there were people accusing him of sleeping with them and touching them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, one. I think it was one. However, you're right. The other ones were more
so
like
he's
dates.
Destroyed forever. She's not going to be destroyed forever.
Yeah, she'll get a time here. But you'll, mm-hmm, you know, you, in a couple years, you'll have the sit-down interview with Asia Argento, and where
how bad things were. I mean, it was crazy time.
She had an incident. She claims in these texts that she had a relationship when she was 17 with an older man.
Oh,
and that will be obviously what caused this.
Maybe,
and it's not her fault.
Yeah, it's the
and
man.
She was still right on the other stuff. And we have to make sure. Maybe it's time to give her a second chance. And, and that's just
because
not
really
afforded to conservatives.
She's only having the 17-year-old. Sex was 17 when she's 37 because a man.
Should that even be illegal? Yeah. You know,
And a man did that to her. So this really.
And remember, the horny kid jumped me was her quote. It was his fault. I mean, this is everything the Me Too movement was supposed to stand against. Amazing.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go when hiring, when you need to hire somebody, and you need to get the right person. It's simple, it's fast, it's smart. It's a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that one place is ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter sends your need out to all of the boards, the job boards to be posted, and you can get that anywhere. But what you cannot get is with one click and a dashboard and a company that learns what you're looking for, then takes that and goes out and searches for the people that are qualified for that job. Then, before they send it to you, they rank them so you know this is the best, this is the second best. They're all highlighted so you know I can't miss reading this one.
Make it so easy because you just have to look at, okay, here's the top five. Let me go through them. Oh, the third one's the best one.
ZipRecruiter, best hiring space in America. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. You just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. Hire the right person fast, quickly, and intelligently with ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. The smartest way to hire. So glad you tuned in today. We are going to continue our coverage on what happened yesterday with the White House. What does it mean? Do we care? Will we care? What happens with impeachment? We'll talk about all of that coming up in a minute. Also at 5 o'clock on the Blaze TV. You don't want to miss it.
Glenn Beck.
Black Tuesday for the Trump administration. Or was it? Two members of the President Trump's inner circle were both found guilty yesterday in federal court. Now, Paul Manafort was convicted on 8 of 18 charges. Well, for crimes that, you know, I mean, we all expect from a, you know, a dirty, shady foreign lobbyist. We knew who this guy was long before he ever joined the Trump campaign. It was mostly tax and bank fraud. He was colluding with the Russians, but not for Trump. Years before, he was colluding with Russia to help them get into the Ukraine and take over. That's his collusion, and it had nothing to do with Donald Trump. And that wasn't even brought up in the trial. Now, Michael Cohen, on the other hand, in another court, pleaded guilty to a few charges, most notably to campaign finance violations. Now, I want you to listen to the verbiage in his guilty plea, because it is relevant to President Trump. Cohen stated, quote, in violation of campaign finance law at the behest of a candidate for federal office for the principal purpose of influencing an election, end quote. So that's lawyer speak. Can you please translate bullcrap to English? Yes. Quote, yeah, I paid some chicks off, but I only did it because my boss, who was candidate to be president at the time, he asked me to do it. The reason why he wanted me to cover all this up is because, you know, it could change the election. What are you, dope? End quote. The reason for the lawyer speak in the wording of for the principal purpose of influencing an election is because saying it like that matches up directly with the wording of the campaign finance law. U.S. election law states, quote, campaign contributions define as things of value given to a campaign to influence an election must be disclosed, end quote. So Cohen knew exactly what he was doing there. He was going down. But he wanted to wound his old boss once more before he got fitted for his orange jumpsuit and sent to the big house. So now, is this Black Tuesday? Well, let's look again at Manafort. Nothing Manafort was convicted for had anything to do with President Trump. Nothing. The optics look bad, but that's only because the press is spinning it as, here's his campaign guy. Trump fired him. Rightfully so. He was only there at the campaign, and nothing that he's going to prison for has anything to do with the Trump campaign. Again, it's optics. He was once Trump's guy, but in the end, it's just optics. Cohen is different. Cohen's statement is damning. It will fuel impeachment op-eds for months. It will be talked about in panels on every mainstream cable news outlets 4 months. But consider this. The guy who's saying it is a known liar. The guy he's saying it about is also a known liar. Who do we believe here? Well, as bad as Cohen's accusations towards Trump were, why wasn't that alone worth some sort of immunity deal? Well, probably because Cohen doesn't have any proof. Cohen's going to jail with no deal. Could it be because he actually doesn't have any proof that his boss made him do these things? Because if he did have some sort of a smoking gun, I don't think Cohen would be going to prison right now. So Cohen's big accusation, the news will cover this, and it will dominate CNN and MSNBC for the next month or so, all boils down to this. An accusation, his word against the president's. Now, I am not saying that the president didn't do these things. In fact, I'm pretty sure he did. But that's just my opinion. And my opinion doesn't send anybody to court. It's not what you think or know. In this case, it's what you can prove. And because of that, Black Tuesday? Not hardly.
It's Wednesday, August 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
What's your read on this whole thing, Stu?
It's interesting. I think it's being made into a really large thing, and it could be a very large thing, I think, for the future, in that if Cohen or Manafort have something else, it could be, I think, a big deal. You know, we kind of know most. I don't know that we added to the story all that much yesterday. I mean, the one thing that you have, I think, there is Cohen admitting that he believes his payment to Daniels and the McDougal situation was a crime. Like, that's significant in that one of the people actually involved is admitting that what he did was illegal. And that's a notable situation. But the bottom line is, before this, before the Cohen plea, we knew that Donald Trump and Michael Cohen worked together to pay off two women who accused him of having an affair about a week or two before the election.
That's one of the main jobs. I think that would be at the top of your job description if the title of your job was fixer.
Right. It's good.
I mean,
we know that. We knew that. We already have Donald Trump on tape discussing the payment to McDougal before it happened. Trump initially denied that he knew about either payment. We now know they are admitting that they did know about the payments. So,
and he authorized it at that point.
And he paid them back, right?
Right.
So we knew all of that. I think there's two kind of types of people, if you want to break it down this way. I think some people will look at the situation and say, hey, again, I'm talking only about, you know, the right here, because the left obviously just hates him no matter what he does.
Right.
But I mean, there's two types of people here. You're going to look at this and you're going to say, look, I don't care about this because he's going to name good Supreme Court justices and he's going to do a good job with whatever issues that are most important to me. And because of his performance in the job, if you think it's good, you're going to overlook this and say, I can deal with the fact that he was doing this. I think the other side of that is because I find myself in this camp, admittedly, and I know it's probably not popular with the audience, but I can't imagine casting a vote for a person who would pay $250,000 to two people to hide information from voters a week before an election. And I understand that's uncomfortable, and I understand that nobody likes that. But the bottom line is,
why?
Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, why? So, for instance, I could easily say, I'm going to pay somebody, you know, just make this go away. It will kill the election, and it's not true, and we'll deal with it later. In this case, Donald Trump knew it was true and, you know, knew exactly what he was doing. And so I can understand. I can understand you saying, I don't want to vote for a guy who's keeping dirt from out of the election. But in today's world, you have people that are coming to the front, like Stormy Daniels. She wasn't a victim. She wasn't a victim.
No, she's throwing a party about all of this.
Right.
And she's like, look, what'd she say? Like, how do you like me now? I don't know. Not that much.
Yeah.
You know, you slept with a married man a couple of weeks after they had a baby. Like, I don't thinking all that much about you, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, it could have affected the election. I don't know if it would have, but it could have affected the election.
Yeah, I don't think it would have.
But if you're just like, oh, geez, man, just shut her up.
I think the problem, I guess, I have with it is, because I don't think it would have affected the election at all. Some of this stuff wound up dribbling out anyway. I don't think it was a thing that affected the election. However, to make a decision where you're paying someone to hide information from voters and not letting them have the full picture to decide it's like a rule violation, right? It's like, you know, people, they talk about this with the Hall of Fame, and let me bring it to sports so you fully will not understand
it. Okay, good. Because I was close to completely understanding. But if you throw some sports in, you'll lose me.
There's lots of people who commit crimes, right? And are terrible human beings in their personal life that make it to the Hall of Fame. You know, Pete Rose did something fundamentally about baseball. He bet on baseball. Now, you could say whether you think that's a good idea or not, or whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. That's a whole different discussion. But it's like stealing something from someone, you know, in your private life is a real sign of character flaw. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it wouldn't necessarily mean that you would be able to perform in your job. Like, it was a fundamental thing where people should have had the information, and he should not have been stepping in to pay them to be quiet about it. And look, I understand that I think there's a lot of really smart people, the overwhelming majority of people on the right who don't make decisions that way. You have to understand that my process goes through, I don't mind voting third party. So I don't look at it as, oh, well, if I can't vote for Trump, I have to vote for Hillary. I mean, right now, the choice, we should be clear, is not Trump or Hillary. It's Trump or Pence, which to me, there's a pretty clear choice of who I would prefer to have the job. But that being said, you know, you have to be able to make a conscious decision based on as much available information as possible. And, you know, this is the type of thing that I think is well, I have to put my name on this, right? And I think people will admittedly make a pretty compelling argument that the world's changed, right? Like, yeah, you can feel it. Go back to your, you know, whatever you thought in the 90s or whatever you believed your principles were in the 90s. The world's changed. It's a different world. Get over it. And that's a completely legitimate argument. And a lot of people make that argument. I just don't want the world telling me what my principles should be. I don't want to have a world where that decision is made for me. The world has changed, therefore I must change. I don't need to change. That's not how I make decisions. And I think it's difficult for people to get out of that sort of day-to-day thing, because what you're talking about here is a timeline question, right? Well, what's your timeline when you make these decisions? When we talk about winning and losing, what's your timeline? Is it the next election? Is it the next 10 years? Is it the next 100 years? Is it the next 1,000 years? Is it an eternal principle? How are you making the decision?
But what I'm asking you is, why would this be a tripwire for anybody? Now, you didn't vote for him.
No.
Okay, so, okay, I didn't vote for him. Okay, so we knew our tripwire. But why would anyone expect this to be their tripwire? For instance, let me just hear me out. We know that Donald Trump is a ladies' man. Let me put it in the best Frank Sinatra way I can.
Sure.
He's good with the dames, okay? We know that. I don't like it. I've made my decision on who he is and what his character is long ago. That played a role into, I can't trust the guy, okay? Then he brags about it. Whether he actually did grab people there or not, I tend to believe he's the kind of guy that might do that. You know, I don't know. But he's look at him on Howard Stern, the way he talked about. So, again, I make a decision. I don't want that guy. Then he talks about his marriage with his wife, his current wife, in his own book, where he says, you know, I was immediately bored. I was walking down the aisle thinking, what am I doing? I'm already bored with this. Okay. Yeah. So again, I've made a decision. I'm not going to go there.
Right.
Then he has a guy on his staff whose job is the fixer. He's a construction guy in New York. That usually takes on much different. Fixers aren't found everywhere. Okay, and when they are found, they're usually with pretty shady people. We have tapes of his guy fixing things and saying horrendous things to people, right? So I've made my decision again. Why would this be a line? Oh, so wait, the guy I think, and I've accepted that, yeah, he's probably done all these things. He's a dirtbag, and, you know, but this is all important. Why would this be the line? Well, no, he tried to hide it. Well, he's been lying about it the whole time. Of course he's going to hide it.
I should be clear. This isn't close to the line. Like, this isn't the line. This isn't the thing. The fact that he's there is so far beyond the line I feel comfortable voting for.
Right. Okay.
So it's
okay.
Like, it's not. All right. This is just it's a good reminder here, because people are trying to focus on whether he did something illegal with campaign finance. I would be fine today. This is legitimately based on principle. Fine today if Donald Trump came out and pardoned Michael Cohen for his campaign finance violation. I believe on the principle that campaign finance reform is unconstitutional. Laws are unconstitutional. So that's how far I am on this. I actually don't believe Michael Cohen should be found guilty of these things, because they shouldn't even be rules in the first place. Donald Trump should be able to go do these things, but he shouldn't do it. That is not something I want. He's going out and paying someone to hide information from voters a week before the election. This is not something I would have even contemplated him doing at the time. We've just gone through so many news cycles where we now consider this to be like a part of our collective knowledge. This is not something I would have.
I think this is exactly what we talked about. This is why we were against him. We're like, you think you've seen scandals? You haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah.
You think that this guy is going to be, I mean, impeachment is going to be talked about a lot right off the bat.
That's
because this is life. Look who he surrounds himself with.
One of the amazing things that struck me last night is that one of Trump's closing arguments in the 2016 campaign was that if you vote for Hillary, we're going to be just stuck in scandal the whole time. We're not going to be able to get anything done because all we're going to be doing is dealing with constant scandals, which was true, I'm sure, with Hillary. But it's interesting how this has played out.
And you know what?
When's the last time we passed a bill?
Okay,
when's the last time we did anything?
But whose fault is that? That's not
Congress.
Donald Trump. That's not the press. Donald Trump has them so mired in the mud of scandal, they could pass, they could rename us. You know, the United States of America is now just gun-toting God-lovers. That's the new name of the country. They wouldn't even pay attention and report it because they're just paying attention to him. The Republicans have dropped the ball. He's provided perfect cover, knowingly or not. I think it's just his personality. Perfect cover to pass anything. Anything. And they've done zero. Do you see that... Bitcoin jumped, well, I think in an hour, $400 yesterday.
Yeah.
In an hour. Isn't that crazy?
It's up, it's 6,700 now, which is up, $300 or $400
from
yesterday.
Have they decided on the ETF yet?
I think that's supposed to come today. I've heard this week, which is another thing that if that gets approved, it's likely there'll be a bounce to it. If it doesn't, we might see another couple of rough days.
I don't know. I don't think anybody's pricing in this ETF yet. I know an ETF is coming, which means... You know, large firms are going to be able to invest. Institutional money is going to start coming into Bitcoin. And when that happens, then it's just then it just takes off. And what you don't know is, you know, places like Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, all these people have been talking this down, and they're talking Bitcoin down right now because they're buying. You know, my grandfather said the people who got rich were the people who were buying when everyone else was selling. And that's what's happening with Bitcoin. And when it takes off again, it's really going to take off. Now, I can't make the case that Tika Tiwari can make. He's making an incredible case based on all the facts and all the things that he knows. He's one of the leaders in cryptocurrency, meets with all of the big movers and shakers. And so he's put it all together and is expecting Bitcoin to take dramatic leaps here in the next 6 months. I want you to find out all you can about cryptocurrency and also blockchain. Find out what it is, why it's important to know, invest or not invest, but you need to understand this. You can take the Smart Crypto Course at smartcryptocourse.com. We asked him to put this together for you. It's smartcryptocourse.com, or you can call 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, smartcryptocourse.com. Stu, I have a story that's been sitting on my desk for a few days, and I don't know what to do with it. It's about a woman who died from a botched abortion, and she died because she used parsley.
Okay.
To kill the child.
Well, I've always argued that parsley is unhealthy.
Right. So I've read this story, and I've read it, you know, over and over again, and nowhere does it say how she used the parsley. Was she eating it? How is she using the parsley?
Is there like a Pinterest argument that Pinterest science that says if you eat lots of parsley, you'll have this outcome?
Or was she inserting it in her? I don't know. Isn't that a kind of an important part of the story?
Yes.
Yes.
I would, yes.
Because I have this fear now of parsley, which I probably shouldn't have. And I'd just like to know, how much parsley does it take to kill someone, and where do you have to put it to kill them?
You never go wrong staying away from parsley.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Welcome to Pat Gray. So Pat... The media is expecting America to all of a sudden reel back and go, oh, my gosh.
Not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
They're doing the opposite. They're circling the wagons around him. It looks to me like everybody's defending him.
So here's the thing. I explain this today as there's a hornet's nest that is right in front of your front door. And mm-hmm. every time you open up that door, the hornets come out and they sting some of your children, etc. You don't have any raid. You have nothing in the house. In fact, the pest control people, they're in with the new spotted wasp environmental protection people who are now starting to say, you know, the wasps were here before you were. And, you know, this is more their home than yours. And you should leave and you're going to be evicted. OK. That's the press. That's the Democratic Socialists that are telling us all these crazy things. And we know they're coming to our house. We know they're coming for our government and our rights and everything else. And so we're sitting in our house and there's a crazy guy in our house who says, you know what? Just give me a broom handle and I'll just poke that thing and I'll get rid of them. And you're like, OK, that's a really bad idea. And he's like, I don't care. They're going to sting you like crazy. I don't care. Okay, here's the broom. Kids, close all the doors and windows. Crazy man wants to go out and poke the deal. Because you know if you don't get rid of it, you're going to lose your house. So yes, that's crazy. But you have to do something. So I understand why people feel this way and they rallied towards Trump. And they still are rallying towards Trump. Because nothing has changed on that. In fact, I think the press and the left has gotten worse. But here's the thing. We don't have to say we don't have to excuse it. We can just say, yeah, he did that. Yeah, he probably did that. Yep, really bad. Mm-hmm. Really bad. I don't want to defend it.
But I don't hear people doing that. Do you hear anybody doing that?
Defending it?
No, saying, hey, that was really bad.
But I'm still with him on his policies or whatever.
You know, what I'm hearing is, well, even if he did it, you know, and even if he told Cohen to do this, it's probably not a crime. And even if it is a crime, you know, it's not that big of a crime. I mean, it's just campaign finance crime. Who cares about campaign finance crime? That's what I'm hearing people do. Even if it's, first of all, they say it's not a crime. Then even if it is, it's not that big of a deal, and nobody cares about the crime. Nobody cares about the lies. Does anybody remember that he said he didn't do this? He didn't. First of all, he didn't have the affair. Secondly, he didn't know about the payments. Thirdly, he didn't pay him back. Well, we already found out that wasn't true. And now all three of those things were false. He lied about all of it.
Okay. But my point is, you've already known that. When you handed him the broom handle and said, kids, close all the windows and doors.
Yeah.
Crazy man on the porch going to take the system of the hornet's nest apart. We already knew that when we handed him the broom. We knew that mm-hmm. he was this kind of guy. And you don't have a fixer. What person do you know has a fixer unless they're a little shady? Who has a fixer?
Yeah, I mean, this is why I don't think this changes much for anybody.
No. Nope.
People, you know, you're right. People keep focusing on whether it's a crime or not. I mean, look, you're going to make a judgment on someone who is going to make a payment to silence some, you know, some people he may have had an affair with before an election.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a crime or not, to me, is somewhat immaterial. Like, you're either going to say think that's bad or you can get over it. One of the two.
The crime isn't the point. That's why I didn't vote for the guy, because I don't want that guy as my president. That's why I didn't vote for him.
And I will say, like, we tend to talk about, like, okay, Donald Trump as a policy person, which he's done some really good things that we've praised endlessly, and no one remembers mm-hmm. on a day like this, but we've praised endlessly things like Jerusalem and, you know, and Gorsuch and, you know, some level Kavanaugh and tax cuts and lots of positive things.
His mm-hmm. judges on the lower courts.
The lower courts are amazing. They did an incredible job with that.
His EPA moves are fantastic.
Really good. We praised this endlessly, and no one likes to remember that on days like this. But, like, there seems to be there's a separation where we say, okay, here's his policies, and those are good, let's just say. And then here on the other side are his antics, for lack of a better word, and those are bad. And there needs to be, we a lot of times lump in, hey, he's tweeting nasty things about Rosie O'Donnell as an antic. And also, he's blatantly lying to our face as an antic. He lied multiple times about this, all to our faces.
No, he didn't. Here's how this is being viewed. I'm not saying this is... Perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
So let me show you how it's being perceived by those who are supporting Donald Trump. They will say, no, he wasn't lying to my face. I already know. He wasn't lying to me. He was lying to the press because he's not going to give them anything to feast on.
And it's still a lie.
It's still a lie.
I know that.
Right.
But not to me. He didn't lie to me.
I will say, though, many of the people who defended him throughout this process have taken each individual lie and defended it on its merits. He said he didn't do it. There's no evidence that he did it. There's no evidence he knew about these payments. And they defend it each step of the way until he admits that he was lying.
Mm-hmm. If he did it, does it matter?
It's just not okay.
No.
Right? It's not okay. And people like to say, well, what do you want? Hillary is president. Again, Hillary has no possibility of being president. She's not the president. The other person is Mike Pence, who would be president.
Yes.
And so there's no reason to not hold Trump to a high standard now. You can say I held him to a lower standard during the election because my only other choice was Hillary. I don't agree with that analysis because I don't think she was the only other choice. However, you can make that point, and I think it's completely
valid. But am I glad he beat Hillary? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad Hillary's not the president.
May I go back to the crazy man on the porch? Mm-hmm. Remember, you're in the House, and you know the people who are going to say to you, those bees, they're sacred bees and hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just a lowly non-person, cisgender, white, hate monger. And so you should leave your house. You know those people are coming. And now what you have is a guy on the porch who's got a bunch of bee stings and he hasn't taken down the hornet's nest. He's only poked it a few times, made the hornets even more angry. And the people who are coming are going to say, you were abusing the hornets. Oh my gosh, you're such an abuser of hornets. You just hate all animal life. You can't stop now. That's what people are saying. Can't stop now. He has just poked the nest. He's the only one crazy enough to go out and poke the nest. Let him poke it and bring it down.
Yeah,
if he knocks it down, though, they're all going to come out, and then it'll be really bad.
Yeah, but I think people think I'm inside my house. I'm fine.
So I'll just watch him through the windows.
Just watch him through the windows.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to sting. It's only going to sting him, and it's going to sting the pest people that are coming. I'm going to be fine with my kids inside the house.
That is one way to think about it. I can definitely say that is a way to think about it.
I think that is the way many Americans think about this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's true. I mean, he speaks for a lot of people. I don't know why any of that is necessary. I would be much like, let's say the opposite happens. These people come out, they say they had affairs with him. He says, look, I was a reality show host at the time. There were Playboy models. I was going through some things. I did make mistakes, and I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have. And
that's not his style, though. He'll never do that.
But this is the problem.
That might mitigate the problem a little bit.
I don't think it would mean something to you.
It would mean something to me too.
Because people keep bringing this up.
Unfortunately, guys, it would mean something to Melania as well.
Yeah.
She already knows, right? She knows whether he did this or not.
Probably.
I think they've been all through that, and I think that's why they have separate bedrooms. So that part has already been litigated, too.
But I don't think you lose. Does Donald Trump lose any of his base if he comes out and says, look, yes, I knew they were going
to
say...
Didn't you listen to me on Howard Stern? Of course I did that.
Yeah, right. But he came out and was just honest like that.
Yeah.
I was a different person, and I've changed. Mm-hmm. And if he were to do that, I don't think he loses any of his supporters. And he certainly, it helps people who are in the audience and are uncomfortable with the lying. People who argued for years and years and years
and
that Clinton and Obama lying was a really bad thing and now have to come on and say, well, yeah, but the policies are okay, so I don't mind the lies as much. And it puts people in an uncomfortable position.
Mm-hmm. And for the five people that still think character matters, that would help a little bit.
It would help a little bit.
It would.
I keep getting this one as well, which I find to be interesting, which is, look, in the Bible, there are a lot of people who are real messes and wind up doing really important, incredible things. And that's true. Like, it's blatantly true. One thing you'll notice with almost all those stories, at least all the ones I can remember, is that they were people who were repenting who were admitting their mistakes.
They were broken.
Who were broken because of their mistakes and were able to come to the right. And I have not seen that from Donald Trump, but put that aside.
Well, you look like, if you're going to talk Bible, you look at King David, who did two really bad things. I mean, the rest of his life was almost perfection.
Wait a minute.
But he did two really bad
mistakes. He sleeps with a woman
and killed
and then
kills
a husband.
What?
What's the problem? There's only two in his whole life.
But in his case, he spent the rest of his life repenting.
Yes.
The rest of his life was nonstop repenting. And most of Psalms is all about that.
Yeah.
Well, look.
And look, I pray that it's God's plan. I hope it is.
Yeah.
Well, let me play devil's advocate.
If it's not, he certainly does not need my vote to get the plan enacted. Because he doesn't ask me.
Hang on just a second. Let me just play devil's advocate on why wouldn't you want Pence? Mm-hmm. Because Pence isn't crazy enough to get on the porch and poke the nest.
Right.
I know that. But what I'm saying is the hornets are getting worse. We all know we're not living in the age of reason anymore. We're not living in a progressive era anymore. We're living in postmodernist era. They are intentionally trying to destroy the Western world. We have evidence of it. We have proof of it. They say it. They're marching in the streets. No USA. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're talking about bringing down capitalism, bringing down the Western way of life. At that point, you do need somebody who's willing to poke the hornet's nest.
This is not Glenn Beck speaking, certainly. I mean,
I'm trying to understand. We will never get anywhere if we just say our point of view is the only point of view. I'm trying to understand everybody's point of view.
There is an
why you're accepting this, because it's not normal.
It's an understandable case.
Right.
I mean, I think there are other understandable cases,
and it's not
which
typical.
I choose to select. I agree with you.
Here's the thing:
I'm in the minority by a lot. By the way, I think we all are.
Here's the thing, Pat. If you suddenly came in here and you were like, "Doesn't matter, none of this matters," Stu and I, as your friend, would say, "What's happening in your life? Are you okay?"
Yeah,
we'd know
because we've
known him for so long.
Absolutely,
he doesn't change like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say to the Democrats that are sane, and I'm not talking about the people in Washington or on TV. I'm talking about your neighbor who's always been sane.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing they have to do to the Republicans who they've always felt were sane. Their friends, their family members. And say this, what is happening? Why do you feel this way? Get away from politics. You have to see that people feel threatened. We feel as though our life, our way of life, our way of making money, everything we understand all the way down to gender is being taken.
Yeah.
And we're being forced to do things we don't believe in. And beyond not believe in, we think it's dangerous and destructive. And that's why they're looking for somebody who carries a big fist.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. They don't. Mm-hmm. They would not accept him if we were in the 1980s or the 1950s, maybe in the 60s. But even in the 60s, the population was still much more. Let's go to the moon. Let's build something great. America's future is bright. Now you talk to people and they say America's never been good. Now we're on the ropes. And we're accepting this for a reason. And it has nothing to do with hatred. It has a lot to do with fear. And the media and the left are causing much of that fear. And I believe intentionally.
Lots more on this on Pat Gray Unleashed today on the Blaze Radio and TV networks. Check out the podcast or listen live.
I'll tell you a little bit about Liberty Safe. Liberty is having a huge sale now through August 26. You can go to the Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's and you'll save hundreds of dollars on the number one selling safes in America. It's Liberty Safe. Now, if you go into Cabela's, and I think it's the same with the Bass Pro Shops, but I know it is for Cabela's. If you see those big safes and they say Cabela's on it, That's just labeling. The Liberty makes all of the Cabela safes, but you can also get the Liberty safe there, marked a Liberty safe at Cabela's, and they're on sale right now. The safes are amazing. That's why we keep, you know, our rare artifacts are kept in Liberty safes here in the studios and at home. Stu, he keeps his wife's purses in a Liberty safe.
Mm-hmm. They're very nice. They're by far the most valuable thing I own.
I mean, if I had my man card, I would demand your man card for that.
Luckily, that's not a concern.
Liberty safe. Do what I did. Choose the biggest Liberty safe you can buy right now. You'll save hundreds through August 26th at your local Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's. They'll deliver it, have it installed. Liberty safe. Always protected, always preserved. That's the Liberty way at libertysafe.com. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for opening up your mind. And I don't know anything anymore. I don't have answers for anything anymore. I have more questions than answers, and I'm right, I'm wrong, but I'm always questioning. And anybody who tells you that they do know exactly what's going on and this is the truth and the way it is, I think they're lying to you, or they're Jesus. Maybe they have a channel to Jesus, but it's a clear channel to Jesus. I think we're all in the same boat trying to figure out where we go next.